the Théâtre de Mort, the theater of death. The audience can satisfy their lust for blood. Here you can buy horror, terror, and all the thrills of macabre entertainment and go safely home when the final curtain falls. But its evil influence cannot be confined to the stage. Christopher Lee as the fanatical director. Fanaticism bordering on insanity.
I want you to do exactly what I tell you, Nicole. You understand? Exactly what I say.
Lila Goldoni, the leading lady, once a ballerina. Now her twisted talents enhance the theater of death.
You're a misfit. You're only happy in the presence of deformity, aren't you? That's why you came to our theater, wasn't it?
Julian Glover, the surgeon, caught up in the sinister life of the theater and in love with its star.
Danny, what is it? What's the matter?
Leave me alone.
Danny, stay away from that man.
Leave me alone!
Hello. I bid you a warm welcome to They Came From Within, Cult Movie Reviews. Corpsing on Stage. Theatre of Death, 1966. As with The City of the Dead, Samuel Gallou's Theatre of Death is one of Christopher Lee's lesser-known horror vehicles. Well, to be more precise, it comes across more as a psychological drama and whodunit than it does a tale of terror. But it's atmospheric and suspenseful enough. And it certainly employs many elements and motifs from the horror genre. The main thing to savour is Lee's marvellous performance. He portrays Philippe Darvas, a driven director of a theatre company, known in fact as the Theatre of Death. Don't get me wrong, Darvas is a deeply unpleasant character for Lee to play. He bullies, torments, and is even downright sadistic at times towards the female members of his acting ensemble. But Lee carries off the role with his customary brilliance. Essentially, the lurid theatre depicted in the movie is a fictional version of Le Théâtre du Grand Guignol, the Theatre of the Great Puppet, launched by the poet Oscar Metenier in the Pigalle district of Paris in 1897. The theatre's director, Max Moret, loved to put on very violent, very bloody shows for willing audiences. The theatre remained open until 1962. Back to the story. France's capital city is being rocked by a series of murders. At this opening stage, three young females have been found with their necks cut open, leaving behind a triangular shape on their corpses, from which all their blood has been removed. Dani Chéreau and Nicole Chapelle, played by Leila Goldoni and Jenny Till, respectively, are friends and flatmates who act at Darvas Theatre. Philippe loves to play on Nicole's fragile mental health, and he appears to be taking increasing control of Nicole. He even starts hypnotising the young girl, under the pretense of helping her improve her acting. Nicole's boyfriend, the good-natured police surgeon Charles Marquis, played by Julian Glover, starts visiting her at the theatre. Noticing Darvas' eccentric behaviour, the gruesome nature of the theatre itself, and the fact that some of the prop knives carry a triangular pattern on the hilts of their blades, leads Paul to suspect Philippe of the murders. But are his assumptions correct? And if so, is Darvas acting alone? Born in New York of Italian parentage, Leila Goldoni, real name Lelia Vita Rizzuto, appeared in a couple of praiseworthy art house films. She was in Shadows from 1959. Directed by Nick Cassavetes, it followed the struggles of three black siblings. And she was also in Martin Scorsese's Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore from 1974, where she played a friend of the titular character. Her other genre appearances include Hammer's Hysteria from 1965, Philip Kaufman's 1978 remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and The Unseen from 1980. Returning to the incomparable Christopher Lee, his Dracula movies with Hammer proved he could convincingly portray a villainous character who remains sexually attractive to women. He does, of course, play such a role here. However, the persona is much closer to the one he vividly portrayed in Mario Bava's Ace, La Frusta e il Corpo, The Whip and the Body, from 1963. In each movie, he gets to exhibit his ability to control, as well as to display his sadomasochistic tendencies.
Is something wrong?
Wouldn't you rather have someone more experienced to read for you?
If I had wanted somebody more experienced, I would have said so, wouldn't I? I'll sit down. I want you to do exactly what I tell you, Nicole. You understand? Exactly what I say. You see darkness. Nothing but darkness. The room and all the people in it disappeared. You hear nothing. Nothing but my voice. Everywhere is darkness. No sound but my voice.
No sound but your voice.
It could also be said that Bava's work had more of an influence on the filmmakers of this picture than, say, Hammer did. The most striking example of this occurs early on in the film. Having been hypnotised by Philippe, Nicole has to act out a scene in which she menacingly approaches a tied-up Danny with a red-hot poker in her hand. This sequence features tilted camera angles, flashes of Christopher Lee's face in dark shadows, which results in a zooming close-up, and there's a searing, bright orange-red background as Nicole advances on her helpless victim. This great scene looks as if it had been lifted entirely out of a movie by the Italian maestro. The exact same thing applies to one of the murder scenes, in which the killer, dressed in black hat and clothing, kills a beautiful streetwalker, played by Esther Anderson, in a fog-shrouded alleyway. Starting out as a model and dancer, the Jamaican actress Esther Anderson went on to become a renowned photographer. She photographed such luminary figures as Denzel Washington, Marlon Brando, Catherine Deneuve, and Bob Marley. She also became a quality filmmaker, and her best known work to date is the acclaimed documentary Bob Marley, The Making of a Legend, from 2011. Oh, and Esther also helped to set up the legendary Island Records label in Jamaica in the early 1960s. It's hard to pinpoint filming dates for Theatre of Death, but it is said that shooting took place around the October of 1965. The movie's official release date is given as the 1st of November 1967. Elstree Studios in Hertfordshire was where the filming took place, and the filmmakers did a reasonable job of making it pass for 1960s Paris. thanks largely to Peter Proud's chic production design. The pleasingly dark and dramatic film score was provided by the talented yet troubled composer Elizabeth Lutyens. The film looks gorgeous due to the work of the celebrated cinematographer Lewis Gilbert, excelling with both the Technicolor and Techniscope processes. I have the Momentum 2001 DVD release of Theatre of Death, and it looks absolutely beautiful. The movie was known in the States as Blood Fiend. The Lyric Theatre in Hammersmith was used as the Theatre of Death itself. It's good to have a story from this era which explores the psychological, as opposed to the supernatural, aspects of vampirism, referred to here as hemotasiac. Michael Smedley Aston produced the film for Panea Productions Limited. Theatre of Death was distributed by London Independent Producers in the UK and by Hemisphere Films in the US. Theatre of Death has a few neat twists, and if you haven't seen the film before, chances are you won't spot the main one in advance. My name is Stephen Archibald, and thank you very much for listening to my podcast, They Came From Within, Cult Movie Reviews.
Jenny Till as Nicole, the young girl possessed by the vicious powers of evil. Somewhere among the imaginations which create the theater of death is a killer for whom the world of let's pretend is not enough.
Would it surprise you to know that there are 4 unsolved murders on the police files at the moment, all done in the accepted vampire tradition?
In the foggy alleyways of Paris, the make-believe world of the Theater of Death becomes a terrifying reality. Thank you.